Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the base number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes, and, as you'll soon hear, Maysoon Wazwaz. This week has been out of control for the Congratulations Pine team, so we are digging into the archives to bring you an interview that aired in February of 2015 with one of our favorite artists, Christine Wong Yap. We're trying to make it so that we mention her in every episode of the show, and so to refamiliarize yourself, go ahead and listen to this interview. But before that, I just want to do a couple shout-outs. One of the reasons why things are out of control is because I have a show opening tomorrow, Saturday the 27th, from 6 to 9 at 323 10th Street in Soma. It's where Stomper's Boots used to be, and now it is a gallery called Telematic. I got a show in there. It's about kind of about leather, kind of about cattle, kind of about lesbians and mysticism. Who knows what'll happen? There's videos, video sculptures, etc., etc. Come on by, free pizza. Okay, also, Will Brown, their show, Ether, over there at the Walter McBean Gallery, SFAI, has an event happening. It is a town hall meeting kind of thing in the gallery, I'm pretty sure. What time's it at? It is at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. That is the 30th of October. And sure enough, it is going to be in the gallery. Is that right? If you are related to SFAI in any way, you definitely should be there. Other people should be there too, because it's just a weird thing. There's going to be an open discussion. You can ask questions about what's going on. The archives assistant, Julian Wong Nelson, is going to be there giving a presentation. Gordon Knox, the president of SFAI, as we've mentioned on the show before, is going to be there. Really love to see what people are going to ask of Gordon Knox. And of course, Will Brown is going to be there talking about the grant that people can apply for, which will, the funds of which come from this ether that they've invested in. It's a very interesting project. Get over there. October 30th, that's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. Who knows what could happen? Okay, get in there. Get out to everything. There's a million shows up. John Gourley's got a show up at Bass and Reiner over there at Minnesota Street Project. It's going to be up until December 1st. It's with Iman Ye, who lives in Pittsburgh. Go Pins. So get over there. Love John Gourley. Shout out to John Gourley. Sad I couldn't make it to the opening, but I was celebrating my mom's 70th birthday. Chris Bell's got a show up called Light Geometries New Works over there at 871 Fine Arts at 20 Hawthorne Street. And that is going to be up till December 22nd. And it is a very intricate show, a very contemplative show, where Chris Bell basically focused sunlight through a magnifying glass. And I think, like, burned the letters out of pages of books to make geometric drawings. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, get over there and check it out. You got plenty of time. Thank you to all the galleries and exhibition spaces that keep things open for more than 10 minutes. And here is the interview. We're here at Interface Gallery in Temescal Alley in Oakland, California, talking to Christine Wong Yap. Here at your show, Make Things Happen. But the thing is in, the things is in parentheses.
Actually, the happen is it?
Shit.
So you can make things or make things happen. And so there's 45 artists who have created activity sheets. And the make things ones can be like hands-on activities, like drawing activities. And then there's make things happen, which is more like conceptual or performative or even like political activities.
Can you give us a few examples of those activities to sort of...
Sure. Kevin B. Chen, who I think a lot of you guys know as an artist and curator, he has an activity where he has a series of landscape horizons where you can fill in kind of like the very miniature buildings that he draws. Another one I really like is Pavel Romanenko's paper craft activity. It's you can make your own miniature version of the Joseph Kosuth three chairs thing. So there's so you can cut out like a little chair and fold it and make it stand up. And then there's a little drawing area to draw a picture of the chair, and then a little area to make the definition. And then, so those are kind of like the more hands-on activities. Then there's more political ones. I think like Mail Order Brides is really interesting. They offer a page out of their, I can't say it. It's like Manananggugol. There's so many syllables. Manananggugol.
I think it's Manananggugol.
Oh, yeah, there's one more syllable, right? Manananggugol corporate handbook. So they offer, like, four different power positions, and two are power positions for women that are very strong, and then there's two for men. Like, one is, like, how to, like, kind of shrink and, like, take up less space. I also really like Brian Zegers. He's a Brooklyn-based artist, and he has this kind of like psychological themed one where you can actually cut out this mask, and then over the ears there's kind of two texts, and then you put the mask over your face so you kind of can't see anything, and then people, you get people to whisper into your ears these things. And it's kind of like a psychological experiment. It's really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of psychology, I read that you're very into positive psychology.
I've for the past few years been doing projects in, like, around, I kind of started out interested in optimism and pessimism, and I started looking into positive psychology, which is, it sounds like popular psychology, but it's different. It's like an emerging field within psychology where scientists do empirical research to study what people do to like maintain or improve their subjective well-being.
Kind of like coming at it instead of like trying to deal with worst case scenario, like figuring out what's, you know, can make best case scenario.
Exactly. I mean, there's so much science looking at like illness and pathologies and stuff, and then kind of just trying to balance it out so that we know more about like finding meaning, purpose, or like relationships and all these different things.
What has the feedback been around this series of projects you've been doing around positive psychology?
I mean, I think it's been pretty well. I think people who are interested in happiness, or people who, for example, I've been showing quite a bit with Susan O'Malley and Leah Rosenberg. So I think when people are interested in works that are kind of engaging in a way to get people to reflect about their emotions, I think when people aren't afraid of sentiment, it's been very positive. Mm-hmm. I also, sometimes I have noticed, like, I think, I mean, this is just my own perception. I'm not sure how much people actually think this, but I do think, like, in contemporary art, people associate criticality with opposition. And when things are affirmative, it makes them a little bit more nervous or something. People in contemporary art are used to taking ironic or cynical positions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of my work that is more just like wholeheartedly exuberant, they're like, oh, she must be being ironic or sarcastic.
Because you're from the Bay Area. Has there been a big difference between making and showing this work over here as opposed to New York?
Well,
because now you live in New York.
Yeah.
For listeners that don't know that.
Yeah. Let's see, I've been in New York 4 years. I think there has been, I have been showing in New York a little bit, but I think maybe I've been showing more of this work in the Bay Area, it seems like. Like, I was in residence at Montalvo where I showed a bunch of this work, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like I'm still, like, finding my way in terms of where I'm showing and who I'm working with in New York a little bit still.
Wasn't this, I was reading on your website, the Make Things Happen project, did that initiate in New York in the Social Practice, the Art of Collaboration show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About that show?
Sure. So the show is Social in Practice, the Art of Collaboration. It was curated by Hank Willis Thomas and Deb Willis. And it was shown at the Nathan Cummings Foundation and at NYU's Tisch DPI, their digital photo imaging department. So this is funny because they're photographers, and they invited a lot of photographers to contribute. And they invited me, and I don't have that much photo-based work. I do. I have a little bit. But, you know, in thinking about collaboration, and I think I kind of had the beginnings of this idea a little bit, and I was just like, I'm just going to go for it and show a bunch of photocopies. So I think the response was really positive. Like, it was like kind of like, it's kind of a weirdo in that show, but I think it kind of worked for me. Like, I'm totally happy with it. And then Suzanne here at Interface invited me to just do this project here. And I'm so glad because I feel like I was able to expand it because it was originally 29 artists and now it's 45. And then also have like interactive workstations, like have a table with some art supplies and also have a space for people to make their own activity sheets. And there's a little printer here where you can like make copies and leave, like make your own brand new activity sheets and leave copies for other people to do. And then we also have 4 offsite projects. Yeah, so Suzanne worked with some neighbors. So, for example, Hannah Jickling and Helen Reed have an activity called Mystic Pizza, and it's kind of a divination exercise where you look at like where the pizza crusts fall on like your cardboard, and then that kind of like tells you something about yourself. So that one's at Lane Splitter Pizza, which is really fun. And then there's been 2 events. Last night, Lauren Marie Taylor came to the opening, and she did a bunch of like astrology readings, and you can like make your own constellation and then name a star, and she'll like register for you. And then today we're having Lexa Walsh do a meal ticket activity where there will be some food and some exchanging of recipes. And
on an unrelated note, I don't think we've had a lot of mural artists on the show. And I just read this essay about ethical muraling. And I just was wondering if you had any takes on that, like the ethics of murals and community work and activism and stuff like that.
Yeah, this was a really, really long time ago. I would say like maybe like 98 and 2000, I was, it was actually on 40th Street, not far from here, when I stumbled into like the East Bay Institute for Urban Arts, which is run by Matt Schwartzman and Juan Alicia. So she's a muralist, and I kind of apprenticed under her and did a bunch of like community-based education. And they have a very strong model of using popular education and studying like Paulo Freire and like, just making the models originate out of, like, research in the community. Mm-hmm. So it's really, like, doing a lot of research and then helping people or facilitating people to, like, figure out what they want to say. Yeah, I don't know if I mean, in the cases where I just designed and painted it, those were often, like, specific for, like critical resistance or something, where there's a specific... They wanted me to do something, and I kind of had something in mind for them that worked out well for them. And those often were, like, on banners that could be, like, brought around to different places.
That's awesome. Do you have any advice for artists that are thinking about getting into muraling?
I mean, I think there's amazing resources, like Presida Eyes and, like, in the Women's Building, with the history of all those murals in the Bay Area, there's tons of resources in terms of, like, looking into kind of learning like the pedagogy and like methodologies of like that kind of education, I mean, community-based work. Mm-hmm. Matt eventually did publish a book called Beginner's Guide to Community-Based Arts, and that's got a lot mm-hmm. of really interesting case studies from organizations around the country, including like the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, which is very community-based.
So let's get down to it. What do you think, Bay Area versus New York?
For me, the fact that I can work in the arts in New York a lot easier yeah. is really nice.
And is that because there's just so much more going on? There's so many more galleries, there's so many more museums, there's just...
Yeah, exactly. Just larger. Yeah. But then, of course, like, the big squeeze factor in New York is, like, the real estate. And I know real estate is crazy here, but I don't know, because it's also like I haven't been here for 4 years, so I haven't had to like search for an apartment or a studio in the past 4 years, and I'm sure it's a lot more competitive and crazy. But in New York, it's really crazy. Like, I rented a studio in Long Island City maybe like 4 years ago, and it was pretty easy to find a space. And then even now, it's like my last year I did a show, and it was so hard to find a space. And I had like, you know, $700 from a grant that I could spend per month on a space, and I couldn't find a space in Long Island City, like not super dense like somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, Long Island City is the thing now, you know. And I feel like maybe like the changeover in seeing like artists move into a neighborhood and then a neighborhood change really quickly with new development, attracting like a totally different class of people, that does feel like very dramatic. And I think I read something where like in North Williamsburg, like a certain percentage of houses of units that are sold or paid for in cash. You know, I wrote a thing for Art Practical like in 2011, and I kind of like interviewed some artists, and you know, I feel like a lot of the stuff is still the same about the Bay Area, like super strong in alternative art spaces. And I actually don't think there's that many super interesting alternative art spaces in New York. Like, I think one of the things that's interesting about New York is all the public art programs, like Public Art Fund, Creative Time, and even No Longer Empty does really cool shows. But I like, when I think of really exciting spaces, I tend to think of like Southern Exposure, you know, and like spaces like that. And I love coming back to the Bay Area and hearing about things that aren't done by people I know, because that means there's more artists that I don't know, and there's a lot more room for growth. So all these new spaces that are popping up, that's really exciting. I will say, though, as a visitor, and especially someone staying in the West Bay, like trying to visit these East Bay spaces where they're only open like for 4 hours a week, that is a little bit frustrating. And I get like people have jobs and like it's really tough, and you know, but I feel like like, for example, in Brooklyn, where there's collectives like Tiger Strikes Asteroid, or even I'm part of a collective called Ortega y Gasset, we try to have a little bit more hours than that. Yeah. But I think in our last show, we had probably like Saturdays, Sundays.
The alternative spaces need to tap into the same retiree population that the big museums have for their docents and whatnot. Oh. If you need a gallery sitter, if you just need somebody to go show up, open the door, and sit there, you got to get these like old people in there.
They gotta be pretty out there old people. But I'm sure there are some.
I feel like you could get them on board with anything.
No, because I feel like half the reason why those docents are at the museums is because they get to go talk about like Picasso and Matisse.
Do you have any thoughts on how we could achieve this goal?
I do not. I'm sorry.
So you turned down the Facebook residency. I think that might have been, I don't know where I heard that from, but that might have been one of the first times I heard about you.
I think Christian wrote about residencies at like tech places or something.
That's Christian Frock.
Christian Frock, yeah. And then she interviewed me briefly on the phone. And I guess she had asked Drew Bennett, who runs a Facebook residency, had anyone turned down your offer before? And he said one person. And then Christian somehow intuited that it was me. I mean, I'm friends with Christian, so she knows. And then she asked me about it, and I was like, yeah. And then she's like, it's a lot of money. And I was like, I don't want to know. And then I read it in the article, and I was like, wow, I'm glad I didn't know, because it would have been tempting. But then I'm like, it's even worse to know and not want to do it and then do it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, why? What were your reasons?
You know, it was like maybe like a year or two ago, and everybody in the Bay Area was pissed off at Google buses, and I was very
as people still are.
Yeah. Well, I think like it was very much like a sense of loss and grieving about a Bay Area that would never come back. You know, a San Francisco that we're losing, and I was just very sympathetic, and my main feeling was like, I don't know, I was talking a lot to like Val Britton, and like we were talking about like Riot Girl, and like, you know, like in the 90s, like this period where we came of age, it was more like the norm to feel like an anti-corporate ethos. Yeah. And then just wondering like where that sensibility has gone. I think in the end, I felt like if there's going to be any regrets, I'd rather have it be like not about anything ethical.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's always so good to see you and talk to you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much for listening. If you want to give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. I also have a new show at TWR Radio, SFAI's internet radio station. You can tune in at twr.sfai.edu. Tune in anytime. There's programming going on practically constantly. But my show is Wednesdays from 5 to 6. It's a call-in show called Roads to Ruin. Call in. I'll give you advice. You can give me advice. I got some great advice this week about my shy cat. Next week might not be cat-related, but it might be. Okay, from the bridge to the other bridge to the island in between, this has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.